I want to welcome all who might be joining in this study. If you have a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. If you're familiar with Mark's Gospel, it seems to begin very quickly and very urgently. And I think as you read through it, through the rest of the Gospel, I think you continue to see the urgency of this message, of this good news. And now, when I say that this gospel starts very quickly, I mean, he does not waste any time. In chapter 1, you begin to see all of these miracles that Jesus is performing, these great signs of his power as the Son of God. He's healing people of their physical ailments, and from the very beginning, we see just how powerful he is in the fact that he cures a man who was demon-possessed. Now, with all that being said, it makes sense that Jesus would become very famous for this, and many people would come to him for these reasons, as we're about to read in our text here. But notice just why he says he came here. And as we discuss this passage, I wonder if our priorities align with Christ's priorities. And we'll go ahead and pick up in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 32. This is right after Jesus has healed yet another person, Peter's mother-in-law. Beginning in verse 32, it says, "When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' In verse 38, he said to them, 'Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. For that is why I came. Or that is what I came for.' And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons." Now, if you were to ask somebody just what Jesus' goal was here, what do you think that their answer might be? Especially after reading about all these amazing things that he's been doing, that he just did. Well, someone might answer to thwart evil, maybe, in the case of the demonic possessions. Or maybe you might hear someone say to heal people physically of their sicknesses, to heal, to cleanse all people from their sicknesses. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what he says he came for. In verse 38, Jesus says, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for." Now, isn't that something? All of these amazing things that Jesus has just done, and he says, "Now that's not my goal here. My goal is to preach." Now, if you were someone who had just been healed by Jesus and you heard him say this, imagine. What do you think would be running through your mind? I mean, if it were me and I was just healed, I'd be thinking, well, if what he did for me just now wasn't his purpose for coming here, if that wasn't it, then I have got to know what it is that he is preaching. If this amazing thing that he just did for me isn't the purpose, how much more amazing must his main purpose be? And what is it that he's preaching but the gospel? This good news. And this good news that the Christ has come to heal us of more important than just our physical ailments, but of the spiritual sickness from our sins. And I think that often we, as well as those in the Bible, Jesus is going to have to correct some people's thinking as you follow along in the gospel. But I think often we as well confuse the purpose of Christ's miracles, particularly miracles of healing. The physical healings were definitely good news and a bonus, I think, for these people particularly. But ultimately, if they weren't focused on the message that the Lord was preaching, then they were missing the point. This kind of confusion reminds me of Luke chapter 5. You know, when Jesus heals the paralytic man, he doesn't start by healing the man physically. Remember what he starts with? He starts by saying your sins are forgiven you. He starts with the soul. Now, once he has fixed the spiritual, then that's when he moves on to the physical. And in so doing, what he does is reveal the priority, or he reveals his priority. The Lord's ultimate goal is not to heal people of their physical ailments. Although, as we said before, as we said just a moment ago, it is a beautiful perk for these people who are with Jesus. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of the Lord is the healing of people's souls, to bring salvation. That's his priority. Now, with all that being said, isn't that our priority today? Shouldn't our, as Christians, isn't that supposed to be our priority? Jesus commands all of his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And in verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." For the Christian, we are to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, as Paul charges Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Our main goal should be what Christ says in verse 38, to preach, to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel. But we lose focus sometimes, don't we? And I know I've asked this before, but honestly, in the past couple of weeks, what have you talked about more? Worldly events? Or God's word? And I know that it's easy to begin to focus on something else, but we need to pull our focus back where Christ had his. One thing that I'm just constantly amazed at when reading through Jesus' life, as we read in just this passage alone, in this short passage, one thing I'm constantly amazed at is the fact that no matter what is going on, Jesus never loses focus of his Father's will. He never lets any distraction contend with his consideration of his Father's will. Nothing that Christ does or says is ever disconnected from his work in his Father's kingdom. That's something that impresses me more and more as I see just how many distractions come with getting older and getting more experience. And it's a characteristic that I want so badly for myself. I want to be like Jesus, who never talks about anything without regard, without consideration to the kingdom and the will of his Father. So maybe, with that being said, maybe I should rephrase the question I asked a moment ago. What do you want to talk about more? Do you want to talk more about worldly events? Or do you want to talk more about what Jesus liked to talk about? What he was interested in talking about. I don't know about you, but my priority is Jesus' priority. And that is not to talk about what's going on outside, the physical, but rather what's going on inside, the spiritual. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what Jesus was interested in talking about. Now, one reason that I think Christians might struggle with feeling motivated by sharing Christ's priority is just simply not understanding the importance that it still has today, that the gospel still has today. As we said earlier, the gospel of Mark especially, I think, focuses on the urgency of Christ's mission to preach the gospel. We need to understand that Christ gives us a pattern to follow today in that fact. And so I say all that to say that there is a very real sense in which the urgency and the importance for us today is just the same as in Christ's day. There is a world filled with people who don't know the gospel, who haven't heard about this kingdom of God. And there are some who have heard, but they don't know much. And they need someone to talk to them about it. There are people who don't know what Jesus came to preach, as we see in verse 38. That's one of the reasons we must be ready in season and out of season, as again Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. We want to be ready to talk about, we want to be ready to evangelize, to proclaim this gospel. And how can we if we aren't ready in season and out of season? And let me just say, when it comes to being motivated by this same priority that Christ had, isn't it amazing that he gives us an example that we are capable to follow? It should be so encouraging to us that the Lord's main focus isn't something that we can't follow. Since, obviously, I can't perform miracles. No one can perform miracles today like Christ could. But as we read just a moment ago, that's not what his main goal was. Instead, his main goal, he says, is to preach the gospel, to save those who are lost, to save those who are sick with sin. Instead, his focus is something that we can absolutely follow, to preach and to proclaim that gospel. What more encouragement could we need in that? Well, brethren, let us not take for granted our mission of evangelism in this world. I hope that we can all begin to work to pull our focus away from any distractions that the devil may put in our way and rededicate our focus to be fully on our Father's will, like we see with Jesus. If you are not a Christian and you would like to hear more about this gospel, this Jesus, we would love to talk to you about him. We would love to study with you about that. And if you want to become a Christian, or you would just like to learn how to become one, let us help you in any way that we can. We would love to help you in any way that we are able. But once again, I'd just like to thank you for joining us in this study. I truly hope that this has been helpful or encouraging at the very least. And we hope that you can join us in any of our studies throughout the coming week. And God bless.